Lord. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, and start of a brand new week. July, can you believe it, is here, and vacations are upon us. If you're visiting today and you're part of us, if you're a visiting crowd with us today, thank you for being here today, and we're glad that you're with us today. John chapter 8, please turn to it. This morning, John chapter 8. Pastor Carnes, that was beautiful. I'll tell you what. When we went into New York City, as I was flying out to go to India with my son 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I guess it is 4 years ago. My son and I came across the Tappan Zee Bridge, and we were looking with our eyes glued to the horizon to get a glimpse of Lady Liberty. We never did, but we sang that song, and the tears were flowing, and that was something special. I praise the Lord for our country. Do you? Amen. I love America. Greatest land and country on the face of the earth. I love its people. I love all that patriotism stands for. Probably like everyone else, the single most ingredient in the United States of America that sets us apart from any country and any land is our liberty and our freedom. It's God-given. It's something that we enjoy. It's something that countries around the world know. They know us for that. They despise us for that. The tyranny that's in other countries, the concerns of other countries when they see an American and on foreign soil, especially those that have served in the armed forces, they understand the liberating forces of people that went to World War I and World War II. I can't even imagine. I was certainly not there, but I can't imagine somebody coming into a town that's been so decimated by the guns and all of that, and the flag waving. Something wonderful. John chapter 8. I want you to turn to one verse, and then we're going to jump into some things here. The pursuit of liberty. What does it mean? How am I going to pursue it? What does it mean? 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be, what's the word?
Free.
Free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for our country. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for our government. Though we may be divided in some areas and our leadership, and yet it is one that stands on the principles that we'll be preaching about this morning. Thank you, dear Father, for each of the men and women that stood this morning and acknowledged the fact that they served this country and in their armed forces. And I pray, dear Father, that you would allow us these days to continue to be a land that is free from tyranny and from oppression and things that will cause us to have those divisions. Thank you so much for the love that this church body here has for the Lord Jesus Christ, who sets us free from sin and hell and from death. I pray, dear Lord, that you would allow us this morning the joy of hearing these truths again and once again, just rejoicing in what you've done for us, what you've done for this country. Dear Lord, I pray for strength to be able to preach the Word of God this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given. And Lord, we ask for the Word of God to once again be proclaimed in a great and awesome way. We ask, dear Lord, that blessed Holy Spirit would hover and about and move in our midst and challenge us and move us and help us, dear Lord, to understand and to go away rejoicing in Christ and once again filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just give strength now. Help me as I look into these truths, into the Word of God, and that these things might be one to lift us and encourage us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Liberty. That really is the subject of today. And when you wave that flag, it's red, and it's white, and it's blue. And it's under oppression some places. But if we're going to pursue liberty, we need to pursue it in some directions. Let me introduce it by this way. We enjoy from sea to shining sea, and from our pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As stated in the preamble to the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America, written and held in Washington, D.C., but not adhered to so often. An underlying theme of this document is complete liberty for all, which we are very proud. Yet this country is built upon the same principle of liberty. The greatest theme of the Bible is freedom, is liberty in the Word of God. The Bible makes nearly 100 references to liberty or freedom. And I'd like us this morning just to focus on three of those this morning as we look at these. The timeless truths. When you think about that, it is something that time will not end. Yeah, we have lots of things that are happening in this country, and the end of things are coming, but this truth will be forever. Amen? Ever. The truth of liberty in Jesus Christ is forever. Will not end. And the truths that our founding fathers set forth in the Constitution, in the preamble to the Constitution, was meant there because they believed it. They believed it. And they believed it so much that they were willing to die for it. It was Patrick Henry who said these immortal words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Why did he say that? Why did he put that there? Why did all of the founders of the Constitution say that? Because they believed it. Today we are bringing a country alongside, and we're in a country that belief is being just undermined so much. Oh, folks, we need to pursue it. We need to pursue it with all of our hearts. We need to, number one, answer the call to liberty. We need to, number two, we need to apply the cost of liberty. And number three, we need really, really to take into account the challenge to a liberty. We need to accept the challenge. There is a challenge at the end of this message. The challenge to accept the very call that liberty brings to us. The founding father, as I quoted there, Patrick Henry, said this: the first truth that we need to answer is the call. Go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. The apostle Paul understood this. It's no wonder our country is based and so great, because it's based upon these principles. The men who penned these thoughts believed and they knew this. Chapter 5, Galatians. I'm just going to start at verse 1, but then we're going to go to verse 13. Paul says, stand fast, chapter 5, verse 1, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Go down to verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Use not only this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The first to real freedom, to real liberty, is the call to answer Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. I answered that call in 1978. And that was probably the greatest decision that I've ever made. As I turned my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and having lived a life for myself and believed once again that the Bible was so very true, as I turned my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved or set at liberty. He that believeth these things shall not be damned. The Bible says, and this is a verse that really struck me, and the Bible says this: for he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I had been brought up in a church. I had been brought up in a church that actually did preach the Bible, but it did not preach that I needed a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a church then. I had memorized Psalm 30 or Psalm 23. I had memorized verses of Scripture. I had all of that. I had a teacher that taught. She's here this morning. I had a teacher who taught us Bible verses in school. Are you kidding? Yes, we did. And we memorized Bible verses. And so I had them there. But I didn't believe it. And it wasn't until the time that I answered the call to liberty and repented of my sins and trusted in Christ as my Savior. The Bible says this: therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verses 1. There is no condemnation. When I received Christ and I answered the call to liberty, the call to salvation, it was at that point they understood there was no condemnation to me. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. 1978. I had gone through all that I had needed to go through in college. I had lived my life on my own terms, done everything I could. Thought I had the world by the tail at that point. Went to church, I thought I had it all settled. And things began to unravel in my life. And we went from one thing to another thing. And my wife and I were living in a little country, a little place up in Helica, and a little place up there that had been flooded out 3 times. And the last time I lost my van, I was down to absolutely nothing. My job was gone, everything. And I'll tell you what, when God speaks to you, you better listen. And I was in the middle of that, and we were wondering, and God brought to me, of all things, on a television program, a man by the name of Josh McDowell. Maybe some of you heard this before. And he began to preach, and he sent me to John chapter 3, And I heard from him that night everything that I'd ever done in college and all the deplorable things I've done in college. I'm wondering, what in the world? And then he said, go to John 3 and read it. And read it 5 times. And then believe it. And something dramatic will happen in your life. And I did that night. And God changed my heart forever. You say, I answered the call to liberty. Jesus said this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh my. And that night, the burden of my sin was lifted. And I can tell stories beyond that, but I'll tell you what, we went from there and I started a life that led me to Bible school, led me here, led me to preaching, and led me to churches, but I answered the call. If you don't answer the call and you don't answer God's call to liberty, you will not ever be free indeed. The principle of liberty is the greatest theme there in the Bible. It is the greatest. Why is it the greatest? Because it has a cost. We need to see the cost of liberty. You see, there's a second timeless truth in the Bible. And that timeless truth is found for us in John, 1 John chapter, now I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Please go to Luke chapter 4. We'll get this first and then we'll come back. Luke chapter 4 verses 16. The cost is so amazing. You see, if it doesn't cost anything, it's not worth anything. If your life doesn't mean anything, there's no cost involved, and so there's got to be a cost involved. And this timeless truth is the very fact of what we're talking about here in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. Please look at this. Where am I at? Luke 4. Hang in there. There's nobody here but us, so we may as well just go ahead and preach, right? All right, Luke chapter 4, verse 16, down to verse 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought. And the custom went to synagogue and the Sabbath. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus. And they stood up and he read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, that's freedom, to the captives, to recovery to the sight of the blind, to set at what? Liberty, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is Scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Lord Jesus there was able to say exactly what Isaiah had said, to proclaim that liberty, to be able to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, the cost of liberty was tremendous. The cost of our liberty was even more. The cost of liberty from the Omaha Beach to Normandy, to Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Midway Island, the Solomon Islands, the beaches, the cost of our freedom cries out from those beaches and from those that gave their last moment's devotion. They paid the ultimate price in Vietnam, in Korea, in Desert Storm, in Baghdad, and from the trenches of Dunkirk and to the road to Burma. The cost of our freedom still is remembered. And even now in Iraq and Afghanistan, around the world, it costs. It costs. And the cost of real liberty from sin and death and hell was paid full for us on that old rugged cross. On that old rugged cross. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Go ahead and turn there. The liberty bell of our country rang over 200 years ago, and yet the liberty price of our salvation was completed with that great cry of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It is finished. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. If you're there, just wait for me. I'll get there. My little children, these things I write unto you, that if you sin not, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. What's the cost of our real liberty? It was the cost of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his blood. It was his blood that was spilled for you and for me nearly 2,000 years ago. The cost was tremendous. The giving of lives, yes. The cost of liberty from sin and hell and death was paid in full by one man and one man only, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. 153 years ago, this day, a battle was taking place in Gettysburg. Did you realize that it started on July the 1st? And it went for 2 days. Thousands gave their lives. General Robert E. Lee came from the south and realized that the northern troops there was a tremendous embarkment of soldiers of the Union troops. And they all converged and fought and fought and fought for 3 days. July the 1st, July the 2nd, and it ended today, on July the 3rd. What a tremendous cost. Abraham Lincoln, and I read this Memorial Day, and I'm not going to read it again, but I'll tell you what. When he said this, God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. The cost of freedom was huge. The cost of freedom of our nation was huge. And the price of that, the cost of that, was the cross. And it stands today as none else can and none else will, because God sent his Son into the world to die for us. What a price. I can't even imagine that. The Bible says this in the book of John, I believe it is, peradventure shall some men dare to die. You see, God sometimes uses people to do good things for others, and some people may even give their lives. The people of our country, these men gave their lives for this country's sake. But here's a man, the Bible says, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's a man who gave his life for those who were enemies. Why would he do that? Because the Bible declares, God so loved the world. You see, Jesus Christ was that payment. He was the cost. He was the payment for that. Freedom and liberty, yes. Freedom and liberty came. The hymn writer put it this way. And he said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Have you answered the call? Have you really answered the call? If you haven't, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day, really, to get that settled. Oh, maybe you've been in church all of your life. Maybe you've done all those things. And I'm probably talking to a number of Christians here, and that's wonderful. But the call to liberty is really, really something that God reaches out. And you've heard it over and over and over and over again. Yeah, it has a call. Yes, it does have a cost. And Jesus Christ paid the entire cost, the top to the bottom. And yet, this is where it ends. And it ends in, what's the challenge going to be? The challenge of that is going to be, what are we going to do with that liberty? How are we going to proclaim that liberty? Isaiah chapter 61 is really the place I want you to go to. If you'll please turn to that. Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 through 3. And this is where Isaiah and then the Lord Jesus also quoted this. Now I'll tell you what, Isaiah was, he was one of those prophets that continued to cry out and cry out and cry out, and the people of Israel were in such dire straits and they were in captivity. And here is Isaiah crying out to them, and God says back to him, chapter 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Freedom and liberty is no good unless others know about it. Amen. Folks, when the soldiers marched into the death camps, the Second World War, and they marched into the death camps and opened the doors to see the horrific news of the people that were there, and the liberty was brought. But you see, the soldiers were going and they were actually proclaiming it. The 4th of July is that proclamation day. But the Independence Day for you and I continues on. It's great to be able to, and we'll be doing that, and you'll be going to parades. I don't know what it is that you do to celebrate our country's independence and finding all of that. But remembering the cost of that is tremendous. The world knows that the USA is very unique. A nation that proclaims liberty from great oppression and great bondage. As I said at the very beginning, a lot of the countries of the world despise us because of that. Despise us because of the fact that we do have these freedoms. But I'll tell you what, if we don't proclaim it in Jesus Christ, we're going to lose it. Amen. We are going to lose it. I don't know where you stand politically and all of that. I don't know. And I'm not here to talk about all of that that's happening in our country today. But I tell you, if you don't take it back to the gospel and you don't take it back to Jesus Christ, then you have nothing at all. Then we don't have anything at all. And that's where our country started, and that's where our country needs to get back to. And folks, we need to certainly pray that way today. You see, the cost of liberty must take the challenge of liberty. You and I have to take it. Last week, we took the challenge, didn't we, Pastor Carnes? And we brought the kids in here, and I'll tell you what, and we talked about the peace of God and the fullness of God, and we did all of that all week long, and we sang about that. We had a great week. 118 or something like kids that came through here. And all of you that worked in here, it's great. We had a great time, a wonderful time, and all of that. Proclaiming it. But it can't stop there. It's got to go. It's got to come out from you. And if you believe in this country and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to get it out. You've got to be able to take that word and you've got to be able to tell it to somebody. You've got to be able to do it. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is our real challenge. Go ahead and turn to it. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And here's the marching words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was about to send his disciples out to proclaim liberty to the captives, to do that which is needed. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, known as the great call of the gospel. All right. Great commission, you can call that. It's found in several other places. And it says, go what? Who? Ye. Who's ye? That's you, that's me. Go ye therefore into where? All the world. And do what? And that's exactly what proclaiming is. Proclaiming is preaching, is taking the word of God and doing exactly that. And notice what he says, all right, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, that's the next portion of that, that's taking it and telling them what they have in freedom, what they have in truth, what they have in the Lord Jesus, teaching them all things, to observe all things what I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you into all the world, into all the ages. You see, when our country proclaims liberty, we don't have that. We don't have the fact that our country is always going to be there. We don't have the fact that our nation is always going to be there because we don't have the proof of that, but we do in Jesus Christ. It is always going to be. He says, I will be where? With you. And how long? Always, until the end of the world. Oh, that's the proclamation. That's the proclamation that we certainly need. And that is the challenge. Go ye into all the world. So the question for us today is three-part. Number one, are you going to answer the call to liberty? Are you going to answer Jesus Christ? Are you going to answer the fact that he says to us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are we going to accept that? Are we going to really accept the call to liberty, the call to freedom? And it comes with a cost. And the cost has already been paid. Aren't you glad? It's already been paid. All we need to do, as Tanya was teaching up here with the boys and girls on Tuesday night or Wednesday night about the gift of God and using that gift. And if you get a Christmas gift and it's all wrapped up and it's yours and it's got your name on it, it doesn't become yours until you do what? Until you accept it. Until you answer it. Until you believe it. Until you make it your own. And so number two, you need to apply the cost. Are you going to apply the cost of Jesus Christ? Are you going to say yes? And that, when that becomes mine, then you have liberty. When you apply that into your lives. But thirdly, you need to accept that challenge to tell the gospel. To tell the gospel story throughout all the world. And it means a neighbor. It means a boy or a girl next to you. It means a friend that's going through the difficult times. It means somebody that you're next door that you know that he really has no idea. And you say, wow, do you know that our country started this? And we believe it, and it's here in the Bible. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Wow. Will you do that even today? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about that? Are you going to? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for our country, what it means to us. And we have the freedom to meet here in this house of worship. And we have the ability to take the Word of God and read it, to understand it, and then to take it and proclaim it. Oh, give us that strength to do it. Our church, body here, people who know Christ, taking it to the ends of the world. Thank you for our leadership, our pastors. Thank you, dear Father, for our missionaries who are proclaiming it around the world. Help us to do our part here, to take it and believe it, to do what you want us to do. I pray, dear Father, for the one soul here today that's never, never, never really taken and answered the call to liberty in Jesus Christ. Help them to turn their heart to Jesus Christ before it's too late. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us. Maybe there's a person here this morning answering the call to go and proclaim, not just here, but around the world, someplace. God's called some from our midst into missions and ministry and preaching. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just challenge them as well to do what we need to do. Help us, dear Father, in this day and this tomorrow as we celebrate the freedoms of our nation to recall this as being the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song. Where is it? Somewhere. What's the number? He is Able, 153. I love this song. It's got a good message to it, so find it, 153. And we'll stand and sing this together. Would you stand? Come on. He is able to deliver thee. Sing it right out.